Glad you made it a point to join us for the fastest 2 hours in radio right here at YSR. Time now to go around the horn. We're going to zero in on the San Francisco Giants. Boy, it's exciting times. A club, they won it all last year, and so it's good to have with us tonight Andrew Baggerly. He covers the Giants for the San Jose Mercury News and the Bay Area News Group. He has just released his new book. It is titled Giant Splash, Bonzi and Blast, World Series Parades, and Other Thrilling Moments by the Bay. Good evening. It's nice to have you with us for the first time, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, before we take a look back, relive some of those incredible memories, and highlight your book, it's been a very big week for the Giants. Of course, Chris Heston on Tuesday night throwing that no-hitter.
Sure, and it comes in New York. He's the first Giant to throw a no-hitter in New York since Carl Hubbell did it back in the 20s, of course, when they played at the Polo Grounds, the Giants did. And it really is amazing when you come back to New York and you see there are still some expat Giants fans here who are holding on to memories from when the team moved in the 1950s, and it seemed like there were more Giants fans than Met fans in the stands Tuesday night, and obviously they were there for a night they're never going to forget, a night Chris Heston's never going to forget, a 27-year-old rookie, and he's going up against a pitcher, Noah Syndergaard, who has the big New York hype machine behind him, but the less-heralded rookie is the one who grabbed all the tabloid headlines, and it's the fourth consecutive year the Giants have had a no-hitter. Counting Tim Lincecum the previous 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect game in 2012. The only other team in history that's done that was the Dodgers in the 1960s when Sandy Koufax did it in four consecutive years. So it really has been a critical mass of just incredible sights and events in Giants history beyond even the three World Series in 5 years. There's been the no-hitters, the perfect games, and so much more, too.
Well, the Giants, they are such a fun team to watch. And just to recap for our listeners, in 2014, 88-74. What's your view right now on how you see the San Francisco Giants and just some of your takeaways from the season so far?
Well, as you mentioned, 88 wins, and that's not really a total that's going to win the division too often. And they didn't. They won the wild card and then won the wild card game and beat the Pittsburgh Pirates and had to get in the hard way. But I think anybody who's watched the Giants these last 5 years knows that if they just get in the postseason, they're dangerous.
Right.
And Bruce Bochy knows how to play his cards, and they've got pitchers who've been around the block, and they find a way to get the two-out hits. And so I think that's really the goal for this team. It didn't really bother them that they didn't win the division last year. They certainly like to beat the Dodgers every chance they get, but if they have to sneak into the playoffs with 80-something wins again, I think they're going to be more than content to do that because they've faced 10 playoff opponents in Bruce Bochy's tenure as manager, and they've defeated all 10. So I think that their motto is just get in any way they can, and they do that. They feel like they've got a good chance to defend their title.
Best-selling author, sports writer Andrew Baggerly is joining us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Hey, we want to hear from you. Join us on Twitter at eRadio Sports. You can always email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. Of course, this interview is being powered by our friends at Universal Fluid Services. And so as we zero in on the San Francisco Giants, I think one of the biggest questions coming into the season was, can the rotation, can it hold up? I mean, that was obviously, how do you see the rotation, how they're faring at this point?
Well, the first day of the season, basically, we learned that two-fifths of the rotation was not going to be ready to go. Matt Cain started the year on the disabled list after it looked like he was going to be ready, and just his last spring start, his forearm tightened up. And Jake Peavy, they've only had him for one start all year. And really, it's Chris Heston who stepped in and saved the rotation from really crumbling. He's sort of been a support beam along with obviously, Madison Bumgarner, we all know what he's capable of.
Yeah.
He's one of the few number one frontline aces in baseball. Mm. And then you've got Tim Hudson. Tim Lincecum's off to a nice start. Ryan Vogelsong had a really good month of May. These guys are older. They've been around the block. They've got a lot of bullets on their arms. So I think the Giants do need some help in the second half from the rotation. And getting Matt Cain back as he's almost getting his rehab started again would be a big boost, and PV as well. We'll see how active they are on the trade market. But they definitely are a rotation that's got some bald tires here and there. And that's why Chris Heston stepping up, really not being a heralded prospect at all, a guy who was even designated for assignment 2 years ago. Any team could have claimed him on waivers, and nobody did. But he's just gotten a little bit better every year. He threw a terrific sinker, had good off-speed stuff, really worked in and out of the strike zone so well, got a few favorable calls, and you saw at the very end the Mets were just so flummoxed by him that they didn't even put a ball in play, didn't even swing the bat. They struck out looking. All three outs were strikeouts looking in the ninth inning. And that really tells you just how off balance he had that Mets team and how important he's been to this rotation, to this team, and now he's got a night to remember forever.
Were you surprised that the Giants, they weren't able to get John Lester? I mean, I remember that big sweepstakes. They were wondering if they could secure him.
Well, I think they really gave it their best shot. Bruce Bochy went to Atlanta to his home to try to recruit him. Buster Posey tried to recruit him. And he really was the one guy that they thought was going to be the safest bet on a long-term contract just because he has such a decorated record of excellence both during the season and in the postseason and came with a lot of high recommendations. But ultimately, he went to Chicago where he's reunited with some of the former Red Sox management and certainly is part of a renaissance in Chicago as well. So, I think when the Giants weren't able to get Lester, they went to Plan B, which was to re-sign Peavy for 2 years. That hasn't worked out so well yet. But as we mentioned, Heston really has saved them.
Okay, Andrew Baggerly is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're getting ready to talk about his brand-new book, Giant Splash, Bonzi and Blast, World Series Parades, and Other Thrilling Moments by the Bay. But you had mentioned just a moment ago Madison Bumgarner. Kind of just give us a synopsis on how he is playing at this point. Here we are in the second week in June.
Well, that's kind of funny. I mean, even back at the Team FanFest and through spring training, whenever somebody drops in from the national media, they always ask him the same question, which is, are you worried about how your arm is going to hold up after he set a record for innings pitched in the postseason, obviously through those five relief innings in Game 7 on just two games of rest to really grab the bull by the horns, quite literally, and take them all the way to the final out of the World Series. And he just laughs at it. He thinks it's funny that people are so caught up in the pitch counts and the innings.
Uh-huh.
He said, "Hey, it wasn't anything special." And sure enough, he's had one or two checkered starts, but for the most part, he's been very, very good, front of the rotation type presence. I assume he's probably going to make the All-Star team. And the Giants have watched his pitch count a little bit. They're not letting him throw 120, 130 pitches a start. But for now, he's been that ace of the rotation that they all expect. And if the Giants do get into the postseason, any opponent knows they're going to have to go through Madison Bumgarner.
Of course, in 2014, the World Series MVP. Okay, so let's move ahead now. Take us inside the clubhouse. We want to hear about your new book, Giant Splash, Bonzi and Blast, World Series Parades, and Other Thrilling Moments by the Bay. All I have to say is my takeaways from the book is it's a history lesson. It's great.
Yeah, it's really kind of a fun greatest hits type of book.
True.
The book I wrote about the 2010 team, the one that finally broke San Francisco's World Series drought, that one's called A Band of Misfits, and that's really sort of a narrative. It takes you through the entire season, the story arc from front to back, where all of these sort of almost random characters intersected at this one little point in their lives and came together and did something that Barry Bonds couldn't do, that Willie Mays couldn't do, that Willie McCovey couldn't do. Juan Marichal, all these Giants greats in a San Francisco uniform, and they were the ones who, against all odds, sort of broke through and won the first title after five-plus decades of waiting in San Francisco. So that book did very, very well, as you would expect, with a million people lining the parade route. And so my publishers were very eager for another title, and last year in the spring, I agreed to do sort of a book that I thought would be kind of fun, looking at 15 years at AT&T Park. Last season was the 15th year. Hard to believe. It's only been a decade and a half. But what have we seen there? We've seen games in which the all-time home run record has been broken. The single-season home run record has been broken. We've seen a perfect game thrown by Matt Cain. We've seen several no-hitters, Tim Lincecum and Jonathan Sanchez. We've seen an all-star game that featured an inside-the-park home run. The very first game is the first chapter, which tells the story of how the ballpark was built with mostly private funds, which is really unprecedented in recent history. And so that's what this book really was supposed to be, was the 15 greatest games in 15 seasons. I agreed to write it last year in the spring, so we get into 2014, and then they play maybe the greatest game that I've seen in the ballpark, which was the clincher over the Cardinals to win the pennant, with Michael Moore hitting a pinch home run that was just beyond belief, and then Travis Ishikawa, of all people, hitting the walk-off, the first walk-off homer to win the Giants a pennant since Bobby Thompson's shot heard around the world in 1951. So some chapters definitely got added that I did not foresee into that book, but now it encompasses the whole 15 years. And really, for me, personally speaking, I grew up a Chicago Cubs fan, and they celebrated their 100th anniversary at Wrigley Field, and they've never won a World Series. So the Giants have had, in 15 years, in probably the most beautiful ballpark in the majors, a full century's worth of highlights that any franchise would be jealous to boast, and all of them are in that book.
High praise for the new book by Andrew Baggerly. It is titled Giant Splash, Bonzi and Blast, World Series Parades, and Other Thrilling Moments by the Bay. We've got like 15 seconds. What's the best moment that you've witnessed over these past 15 seasons?
You know, I think it has to be that Ishikawa home run, not only because it was just such a back-and-forth incredible game. I've never heard the ballpark louder, but he's a guy who almost retired at midseason, and just his personal story was so neat. And that's why he's front and center on the cover of the book, not Barry Bonds, not Tim Lincecum, not Madison Bumgarner. It's him coming around third base, and that's just such a neat image, and I'm glad that that's front and center in a Giant Splash.
Congratulations on the book. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Much more MLB talk coming up. We're going to zero in on the Houston Astros right after this quick commercial break. Stay close.